I have Dollop tour dates to announce for the year 2024 of our Lord J-Town. We have our 10th anniversary show coming up in Los Angeles on April 27th. Guests are Karen Kilgariff and James Adomian. And then we are going to Australia starting on May 13th in Perth, May 16th in Sydney, May 18th in Brisbane, May 20th in Canberra, May 22nd in Melbourne, and May 24th in Adelaide. You can get your tickets at dolloppodcast.com. So a couple of quick announcements. First, the very funny comedian and a friend of ours, Mike Bridenstine, has an album coming out called Hustle on the 16th of December, Thursday. So please pick that up. He's a very, very funny man. And secondly, my other podcast, The Audit with Josh Olson, a new series comes out today. And our guest host study buddy is Senator Nina Turner. So please check that out. We are covering the masterclass with David Axelrod and Karl Rove. Who wouldn't want those guys to be together? What? So please check that out too. The Audit. It's on The Lever, David Sirota's lefty news empire thingy. The Audit on The Lever. And now we're going to play an episode we recorded live in Indianapolis earlier this year.
Sit down, sir. It's Gareth, god damn it! It's really been happening a lot on this tour. It's Gareth, it's Welsh. Indianapolis? Is that what it is? Oh. Why does it all smell like burning tires everywhere in your town? Oh, it's the pharmaceutical company. What are they doing, making tire pills? Essentially? They do animal testing? Are you trying to make me dislike this company? It's going pretty good so far. Can we just let Dave depress me instead? Is that possible? I feel like that's his job. I don't know why I'm getting flanked here. You're like, pharmaceuticals, insulin, they kill animals. Aw, I was just hanging out at me nuns. Having a good time, I was. At me nuns.
Hello, governor.
No, shut the fuck up. Jesus Christ. Just terrible. Felt like we were kind of, you were smiling, having, and now you're just on one of your three devices.
Well, Finn is 3 for 4 with 3 walks. And he scored the winning run. So, what are you gonna do?
And what are you gonna do? Do your snake dance? What's the snake dance?
Shit! What did I say?
What did he say? We did a Q&A after the show, and this woman last night was like, can you put some more stuff in the intro? And we're like, yeah. And she's like, the one thing you got to put in is when Gareth, when you say in one of the episodes, punch me in the mouth and spit in my ass. And I was like, miss, what did I say? And I go, why did I say that? She goes, you were doing a bar fight. And I'm like, what bar fight bit is that? Punch me in the mouth, spit in my ass.
Congratulations on Eli Lilly and all the other great things that your city does.
Let's mention the other podcast that we have. You do it from the top. Go. Oh, shit.
We have another podcast.
You're really good at this.
We have another podcast called... Oh, I got to tell Finn I'm on stage. He's.
We have a new podcast called The Past Times.
Hey, buddy, I'm on stage right now. Yeah. I'm actually on stage.
And you can listen to it. It's great. The first episode has Karen Kilgariff. Uh-huh. And,
What?
Call you back.
You're going to call me back?
Yeah.
Why?
Tell him you're going to the championships.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to the championships.
And you're the starting pitcher? People are very excited.
Tell them how to win a bar fight.
What was it? Punch him.
Mouth. Ass.
Oh, punch him in the face and spit in their ass.
Yeah. That the catcher doesn't know that signal.
Oh, they hung up.
They hung up. Oh, they hung up on you, which is amazing. That they were like, we're too busy for you.
Finn was like, okay, I get it. You're on stage.
Wow.
He is a jaded showbiz kid.
Yeah. So am I. So, the pastimes.
You're listening to The Dollop. This is an American history podcast where I, Dave Anthony, just absorb into a couch and read a story from American history to that guy.
Gareth Reynolds, who has no idea what the topic is going to be about. Go! Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
1876! Rufus Cantrell was born.
One person, was that a, either a dog got hurt or one person was like, oh, yes!
We have no idea about his childhood, but we do know Rufus and his mother, Sarah, moved from Gallatin, Tennessee, to Indianapolis in 1892. That's what it looked like back then.
Wonder if it still stunk like burning tires.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? What's happening out there?
It's pharmaceuticals.
That's just because of
the pharmaceuticals? They're burning dogs, you said, right, miss?
The whole...
Can I quote you properly? They burned dogs in tires.
The whole
from
town.
From the Indy 500. Is that what it is? And they're putting it in pills, raising the insulin price, all because of the Pharaoh who, stick with me, Brendan Fraser to kill your daddy. Whoa. We don't even need to do a show. So they had a butt plug downtown? That's why she stinks. Gorgeous. They're like, put the lighthouse down, the lighthouse right downtown. Perfect.
So sometime during his first 16 years, Rufus's father died in an insane asylum.
Okay.
It was also said Sarah's sister had to be put into an asylum when she went, quote, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah said Rufus had fits and spasms due to epilepsy.
Okay. Really brought the energy down, by the way.
So when he was 12, Rufus got thrown off a horse. I'm just trying to pick it up a little bit.
Yeah. Get to the fun. All right. Horse throwing. Yeah. Yeah. Probably hurt.
Yeah. Well, he landed on his head.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. A good story.
Quote, when he was a boy, he tried to preach and said he had talked with God.
Well, I mean, you need to fall off a horse to believe that.
It would be so great if the Christians came after us.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
If once they start listening, they'll be like, good Lord.
What the hell?
This is really crazy. They will go to hell.
So to continue the quote, sometimes he would have mad spells and become very violent and profane.
Okay, like you.
Yeah. Rufus tried to become a teenage evangelist, but it didn't pan out. Maybe because of the cursing and violence.
Right, yeah. So, is that due to the horse fall? A lot of this, are they tracing it to that, or that's just kind of like...
I think, yeah, they think it probably was due to the horse fall.
Right,
okay. Yeah. So he hit a rough patch, and... He tried to commit suicide in 1896 when he was 20 years old, quote, out of love sickness.
Okay. So I don't know what you're looking at me for. I got nothing.
So he then decided to get into show business.
What?
What else would you do?
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to be a comedian.
Okay.
Well, I'm fucked up enough.
Yeah.
And in 1899, the Indianapolis Recorder wrote that Rufus could recite long passages of the Bible on stage.
I like that that was show business back then. I'm not saying it's in a good spot now. It's really not. Everything's becoming like cupcake shows or like home renovation shows. But they were like, I'm going to get into show biz. What can you do? I know the Bible really well. Whoa, this is awesome.
What a great show.
Look at him go.
Oh, man, we watched a guy just recite the Bible for an hour.
Oh, man.
Wow.
This guy's Leviticus is unreal. Ooh.
Although he was kind of just doing a podcast.
Yeah. Fair.
He also gave speeches on the history of playing cards.
Oh, well, fuck. I mean, you thought, look, the Bible stuff's a little boring, but you hear about the history of playing cards. Man, it's, wow. And that's why it's the two. The three is, again, that's chronology based. Yep.
Why are there four different twos?
Why are there four different twos? All right, we're going to hold questions off till the end. Thought it'd be okay to take one, but that's really... Let me get through the order first. Yeah.
What's with the Joker?
Please. This is all super planned out and plotted out. Okay? So the three is after the two.
There's four threes.
Stop. So the three is after the two.
Well,
okay,
it's fifth, because there's four twos, so it's after four twos.
Okay.
This would be a better show if I wasn't the only person in the audience.
I don't agree. It would be much better if you were not here.
Like a Joker.
In the beginning,
and he also gave speeches on, quote, Cain's wife.
Whoa. What? Okay.
I don't know what the...
Yeah, I mean, he's like, look, but not enough people are focusing on Cain's wife, okay? It's like...
He also
it's
just...
not a story of brothers. It's a story of fucking...
It's... The name of my talk is Taboo for Cain's Wife.
Cain's Wife.
He also dressed up as Abraham Lincoln and delivered his speeches.
That I like. That I like a lot. That would be great.
Lincoln impersonators were pretty common at the time.
Sure, yeah, there's a ton of them.
But Rufus is black, and I could not find a black... I could not find a picture of a black Lincoln impersonator.
Wait, Rufus?
Rufus is a black guy.
And he's a Lincoln impersonator.
Yes. But I
could Interesting.
But I could not find... It's not a thing out there on the internet. You can find, no black guys like...
I would
no,
go see a movie called Black Lincoln without
100%,
question.
100%. 100 fucking percent.
Oh, man. Okay.
He performed the show at Oddfellows Hall with a juvenile quartet who were all under the age of 12.
Well, I miss her. I miss her.
I miss her.
Whoa.
You're the baritone. Go.
I hope she comes back again. Man.
The next year, Rufus joined the 24th U.S. Infantry and was stationed at Fort Douglas, Utah.
He's moving fast.
Yeah. But he only made it a year and was discharged due to epilepsy and suicidal inclinations.
Okay. Here we are at a dry patch.
Right there, back there. He went back to Indianapolis.
I would much rather he got discharged for refusing to take off the Lincoln outfit. What do you mean? I don't take orders from you. I'm in charge of the Army.
I mean, now we have a movie.
Yeah, now we have a movie. You can believe I'm not Lincoln if you want, then get out of here. But for those of you who believe in your hearts that I am Abraham Lincoln, let's do this.
Quentin Tarantino's Black Lincoln.
Oh, Now I'm out. I'm out now.
Blinken.
Have you ever seen... Oh, boy.
Coming to a theater near you. Blinken.
Blinken. Have you ever seen Tarantino's press tour for Django Unchained? It is mortifying.
Well, I read the script, and I had a very hard time reading all the time where it wasn't dialogue, where he was using in the description the N-word.
Jesus Christ. It is.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. Any hoozle-be.
He's great. So he goes back to Indianapolis, and he gets a job at the Malleable Iron Works.
Malleable Iron, okay.
After that, he takes a job as an undertaker's assistant working for CMC Willis, who was the only black undertaker in Indiana.
So he works under an undertaker.
He's an under-undertaker.
He's the under-undertaker, okay.
Beneath undertaker.
Easy. It's got a little prepositioning now.
In October 1900, Rufus got into a bar fight in Bucktown.
Oh, I know what to do.
Finn.
You know how to win a bar fight.
So Bucktown's a black neighborhood, and the reason he got into a brawl was because Rufus was supporting William Jennings Bryant for president, and he was very, very vocal about it.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the Indianapolis News, Rufus upset a saloon customer, William McElroy, who, quote, a short time ago, he exhibited his prowess by tossing a larger Negro into the canal.
Oh, fucking A. Wait. So he's a huge fan of that guy.
Rufus is.
Yeah. And then someone else there is not into him.
Correct.
And previously tossed a huge black man into into a canal.
Yeah.
Okay? And now he's fighting with him.
Now he's upset with Rufus for preaching about this guy.
All right.
So Rufus was out in the street shouting about Bryant in front of the saloon, and McElroy was annoyed because he was going in to, quote, buy a can of beer on credit.
The dots aren't connecting fully. It sounds like this guy has no real... Okay, so he was like, well, I have to talk about him right now while I'm going to get a beer on credit, which is also a great move, by the way. Can I get on credit, please?
A fight started in the street, and their paper reported several people were involved. Quote, McElroy failed to throw anyone in the canal and was beaten until he was glad to stop.
Is that his move? He's a canal tosser?
He must be a canal
tosser. People are like, don't let him get you near the canal. That's his ropes. Come on, you son of a bitch. Get over here. No. We know what you do. I swear I won't. Just let me show you it. There's some fish in it. Come here, you son of a bitch. I'm going to throw this Abraham Lincoln son of a bitch. That's a great move to have. My thing? I finish him. I throw him in the canal. I toss many people in the canal.
You're about to be wet, Jenkins. Cops arrived and broke up the fight. Then McElroy and Rufus were arrested and fined $5.
Hmm.
Now, there is a university just east of Bucktown called the Central College of Physicians and Surgeons.
Gorgeous. You know what? Even if it wasn't that one, I probably wouldn't be able to bust you.
Yeah, it's not the only one, not the only medical school in the area. There's also the Protestant Deaconess Hospital.
Oh, nice.
South of Central College.
Sure.
And the Indiana Medical College.
Sure.
On the corner of Market and Senate. You guys know. They were all very close to the state legislature. You could have tossed a stone in any of these, from any of these buildings, and hit the legislature. So it's like a big, closed together area with all these different.
Sure, you could throw rocks.
Medical
at it.
Hospitals.
Sure.
Central College's dissection room was.
Oh God. I feel like I'm hearing the breadcrumb terms.
What do you mean?
I just heard dissection and, you know, I'm a little goosebumpy.
No, it's no.
I got some duck pimples.
What? No.
Oh, shit.
The dissection room was directly across from the state house, which was bold because body snatching and dissection was very illegal. Sometime after 1900, Rufus got into the business of body snatching with the doctors at Central College.
I'm hoping that he's still... I wish he was still in the Lincoln outfit. Everything would be a little more comedically fruitful if it was like, is that Lincoln? Okay, so he's body snatching.
As we covered in episode 53, The Resurrectionist, body snatching had been going on for a while. There had been a riot in New York City in 1788 over bodies being taken from an African-American graveyard. People made all sorts of traps and attempted to secure coffins. Some let the bodies decompose before burial so they wouldn't be useful.
Mm-hmm. They went to long legs. There's even, like, cannons.
Yeah, they were cannons.
They're, like, coffin cannons, which actually I will have. Yeah. I've decided.
Yeah.
It's one of the main features.
And then cremation got really popular after 1900 because people, you know, worry about body snatching.
Right.
So
that'll teach them. You can't grab me. I'm ash.
Watch me.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the laws were, doctors needed bodies to dissect. The snatchers were called vulture doctors and ghouls. And colleges relied on these ghouls to get bodies to teach.
Right.
And locals are really very familiar with body snatching in Indianapolis. In 1876, John Harrison died. He was the son of a president, and his son would become future president. So he's the only guy who was in between.
Right.
Right. So at the funeral of his father, the Harrisons noticed the grave of a friend who had recently been buried was disturbed. Mm-hmm. August and Devin. So they had it dug up and the body was gone.
Okay. I like how they're like, it was disturbed. Let's disturb it. To make sure it's been disturbed.
Well, it's time to double disturb this one, gentlemen.
We're worried something's happened to the body. What's the plan? We're going to get the body out.
We're getting in there.
Make sure.
So John Harrison Jr. got a search warrant for the Ohio Medical College. And as he searched... he finds the naked body of his just-buried father hanging from a rope in an air shaft.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Where the staff had tried to quickly hide it.
Oh, what the fuck? Why did they do it like that? Pretend it's laundry. Hurry! That's worse. Leave it, like, on a...
No, then, because you can be like, no, that's a ghost. It's floating.
Oh, my God. Look, I'm worried... my father might be here. I just would love to have a look around.
He's not.
I know.
Go
it's
ahead.
Crazy.
He's not here.
Oh, my God. Why is he on a clothesline?
That's a ghost.
Boing.
And he makes that noise.
Oh. So he loses his mind.
Well, yeah, he's not happy about it.
Dad? He's okay.
So this is a huge story, particularly because they were from Indianapolis. And Devin's body is later found pickled in a vat of brine at the University of Michigan.
Sorry?
I said Devin's body is later found pickled in a vat of brine at the University of Michigan.
Why did they...
Go Wolverines!
What is the point to man pickling?
What's the point of not man pickling?
Why would you pickle him?
Well,
just for snacks.
Yeah, the flavor is really
just for
kept.
Football on Sundays.
Yeah, or else they go bad.
Devon egg. Hmm. Hmm.
I'd put some spices in there too.
Oh, what is the point? Why do they?
So it doesn't rot. So then they can still take it out and dissect it. At some point.
That's the only way. Pickle?
I mean, that's what I would do.
Ugh. It's got that velasa crunch. That's how you know Devin's good to go. It's got that velasa crunch to it. Kink.
Hmm. So, like I said, in Indianapolis, the Harrison who was hung in the air shaft had once been a Presbyterian minister. So everyone, the press is all over it. Everyone's like, you know, big deal.
Yeah.
So soon after the Harrison situation, Indiana passed its first anatomy law. The body of anyone who, quote, shall die in any state, city, or county prison, or jail, or county asylum, or infirmary,
oh God,
or public hospital.
Enough.
Within this state shall remain unclaimed for 24 hours after death, may be used as a subject for anatomical dissection and scientific experimentation.
For 24 hours, then it's a go.
Yeah.
So you're just like, come on, I really want to get this one. Let's go.
Ding, dong, ding, dong. Oh, ding, shit.
Dunk.
It's body time!
Yeah. Or just when you ruin it, like, ah, my husband. Damn it, we were really going to cut the fuck out of that guy.
God damn it.
Oh, he's going to pickle him so good. Little bit of garlic, little bit of dill.
Mmm. Mmm.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I mean, you know, they were trying to find a loophole. They're trying to say, like, those are the people that no one cares about, right?
Yeah, right.
The people who are in insane asylums, the people who are in the hospital. They're like, and the criminals, and they're like, yeah, who gives a shit? It's a way to, like, keep them from snatching the bodies of respectable people.
Right. Well, and, you know, in this country, they'd never put someone in jail for a reason like that or anything. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, for labor or to just,
no,
like,
that wouldn't happen.
Dissect.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Oh, great. What's happening here, buddy? Hey, buddy? Are those medical pajamas? Buddy, why are they all in? Hey, Dave?
What's up?
Why are they all dressed like magicians? Hey, buddy? Hey, Dave?
Yeah, what's up?
I'm just starting to notice the jerky man now. Why'd they put his face towards camera? Hey, Dave?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got some more questions I just came up with.
Alrighty.
Why are these men all wearing top hats and some of my mother's nightgowns while that man is looking to camera like a jerky Muppet?
Well, this is the first picture of Devo.
Hey, Dave?
Yep. Are you going to ask about that guy's Hitler mustache?
Haven't even gotten there yet, bud. Haven't even been able to get there just yet.
Okie doke.
We've got a real scene stealer on the table. Is that Jack Lynx? Hey, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Dave, his legs.
Yep, they're flat.
Hey,
they're
buddy.
They're called flags.
Why is the one guy just wearing a hefty bag?
Well, he gets squirted on. He's near the juicy part.
Why is he smiling?
That we don't know. And we don't know why the guy second from the right is acting like he's going to cut into a turkey for dinner.
I think this is the craziest picture I've ever seen. What? I have to live a life after this show, you know, man? Like, we all gotta go do stuff again, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, for me, Dave, it's really this area where I start to get worried.
Yeah? Why is that?
Well, just again, because why were they like, say cheese? And he's like, what does everyone want for drinks after? What the fuck?
The guy on the very end seems mad that he had to stand sideways. He's like, well, fuck this. I'm just going to put my fork here.
Why are they... What is with the outfits? Why are they couched?
I don't know why they are in the outfits.
They look like they're Etsy men.
I think that they thought it was cool.
Well, let me talk to them.
Well, they were all learning to be doctors, and I think I would guess that they thought like, oh, well, we're getting outfits for dissection. Let's like make them a little.
Let's be
cool.
The Riddler.
Yeah, let's have them be a little fancy, and we'll be Batman villains.
And the top hats?
The top hats, I have no fucking idea what's happening.
Oh, boy.
Now, this is...
crazy. Not okay. Unacceptable.
This is right.
Frankly problematic. Nowhere near all right. Unforgettable. Nightmare fuel. Evidence?
they were also trying to show people that dissection was helpful.
Pardon? Who was in charge of the campaign?
So
these
guys decided to do it.
Then turn the head. Then turn the head.
This is in Louisville, and they decided to do an outdoor dissection to like show that it was good.
Like a barbecue?
Well, I don't think they cooked him first. I think that he was just dried in the sun.
Stop talking.
The part of him hanging off the table
near
the end is weird.
Dave.
I mean, is it a foot? What is it? What's the part hanging off?
Wouldn't it make more sense from a PR standpoint to get a fresher body?
Well, yes.
Okay.
But they didn't want someone to be like, that's Jeff.
I think they should have. I mean, Dave.
And this is the experimentation that led to the discovery of beef jerky.
Oh, oh my God.
The guy on the left is way too creepy happy.
Yeah, no. The Bill Hader character is really an issue. I cannot.
You can and you did.
I'm hoping we've peaked picture-wise.
I think we have.
We have?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it gets better.
Better?
I mean, ever. I don't think it's
better.
Ever. Yeah, better.
That's a red flag.
That's fucking awesome. When I found this, I giggled for an hour.
I can only imagine. You're like, Finn, do you want to watch E.T.?
Otherwise, other than these groups that they have now made legal to use the bodies of, everyone else is off limits for taking in dissection. But there's still not enough bodies using those people from the prisons and the hospitals.
Sure, you got to cast a wider net.
So body snatching.
Can we get a bucket out here.
So body snatching continues.
Okay.
It's a bit rare for bodies of white people to be taken.
It looks rare.
Often the ghouls targeted black cemeteries, but the doctors were all white. The grave robbers were mostly black men, but in Indiana, white corpses were stolen more often for medical purpose than they were, especially down south.
Okay, that's nice, yeah.
Yeah, congratulations. Equality! Yeah, nice job!
Inching closer to something good, maybe? I don't know. It's hard.
Indiana ghouls hit up rural and urban graveyards and grabbed what they could. Rufus preferred to go to small cemeteries because they buried the corpses shallower than larger cemeteries.
Right. Sure.
Less work. Yeah. The worst grave robbing that occurred was in towns close to Michigan Central Railroad, as one could toss a body on a train as freight and send it to Ann Arbor's famous medical school.
Mm-hmm.
So just
so
easy
you were, it was just easy the, to like it was like putting a drunk guy in an Uber, basically.
Yeah,
right. It was like, there you go, get out of here, you. Go on, boys. Whoo!
So the body snatchers tried to be as efficient as possible. They didn't dig up the entire casket. But they would dig up one end and then smash it open and put a hook on the corpse and drag it out.
Sure. Yep. Right. Deep sea fishing. Remember when Black Lincoln was the wild part of this episode? 10 minutes ago?
You're talking about Blinken?
Yeah, Blinken, sorry. Then so they would smash one end. Now, you would probably want head versus feet.
Yeah, but I think
but you sometimes got you were just kind of like, it was a bit of a crapshoot.
I mean, you probably, with the gravestone.
Yeah, you would assume.
Yeah.
One would hopen.
Hopen?
Mm-hmm. Hopen casket.
You're right. You're right. Try being in this with...
there you go.
In a van with this. Then they just pack the dirt back, and if there are flowers, they put flowers on there. And hoping
I like the cover-up. I like that.
Hoping wasn't noticed, right?
Right.
But sometimes they do it without digging. They would take the body before the funeral and replace it with blocks of ice, so when they carried it, they thought it was full.
Shit, boy, he's really sweating in here, huh? Grandpa's really sweating. I know.
Other times, they would pose as grave diggers and take the corpses moments after the funeral, putting them in sacks, then burying the coffin before carrying the body off.
So they would just put the body in sacks and then just bury an empty casket, basically. Right.
An article in the Indianapolis Journal in October 1899 explained how the ghouls adjusted their operation. They originally opened the grave, took out the body, and then took the clothes off on the ground. But the city lost its mind when a girl died, and the snatchers took the body, but accidentally left a white slipper in the snow.
Cinderella?
The girl's family found the slipper the next day, and then everyone was like, you know, it's a girl. They went fucking... batshit crazy.
So they would normally strip it?
Yeah, they would take it out and strip it on the ground next to it.
Why would they do that?
That's a good question. I don't know why.
Yeah, to me, I'd be like, look, get it out of here, then whatever, then strip it. But I wouldn't just be like, there we go. Get him naked. Va, 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 voom.
Yeah, I don't know why. So then after this, they change it up. After,
because then I would want to be buried with like 80 layers of clothes.
Yes.
So they'd be like, "God damn, this asshole! Look
this
at this guy.
Not worth
seven
it.
Vests. He knew we were coming. Like, how many pairs of mittens does a man need to wear? He's not wears. He's not tobogganing for God's sake. Like, 9 pairs of shoes. These are all ballet slippers. Suspender after suspender after suspender." Son of a bitch. Oh, my God. Knight's armor.
So now when authorities opened graves, they found nothing but clothes in the graves because they were stripping the bodies.
He evaporated.
They were stripping the bodies in the coffin.
He was ice. I told you he was sweating.
Now, some cemeteries were almost completely emptied. Indianapolis' oldest cemetery, Greenlawn... But Greenlawn was eventually closed because so many floods, vandalism, and so many bodies have been stolen. They just went, we can't do this anymore.
We can't handle it anymore?
Quote, it has...
We're not planting anymore.
Quote, it has come to be generally understood by the city officials that while Greenlawn has all the outward signs of being a cemetery, there are in reality few, if any, bodies there, and that in the view of this fact, there should be no opposition to its being transformed into a park. So they turned it into a baseball park.
Oh, sweet God. Oh, my God.
It would be so great if it was
what
like...
What a great... Like, who was it? All right, look, we tried the graveyard thing. Let's just make it a ballpark.
It would be so great if it was like a poltergeist and all of a sudden...
Oh, God, right. Yeah. Evil angels in the outfield.
Slide.
Something keeps tripping me at second, sir. Shut up. You'll figure it out.
Slide into third, and a hand comes up and sucks you down. Yeah. Ground. Now, Rufus was hired by Dr. Joseph Alexander.
Sure.
A prominent white doctor at Central College. Uh-huh. Rufus had also formed, at this point, a grave-robbing gang.
Okay, nice.
Having a gang allows them to do the job quick, they would especially be...
It's like a pit crew.
Yeah.
Right. Get them off.
Close off.
Close off.
Okay, let's look at that for a while.
Nope. Off the crew.
They'd really be active before winter, before the ground got really hard and it was harder to dig graves up. Rufus and his gang dominated the stolen body market. He had seven men in his little ghoul gang. Mm-hmm. The Indianapolis Journal, quote, he only used hooks when a corpse was fastened in a coffin.
Oh, they have to fasten you? Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a... All right, well, good. All right, chain him up, boys. There we go. This is normal. This is a normal cat and mouse we've got going on here, isn't it? Everything's fine. Hopefully when they hook his neck, they won't be able to get him out so fast. That all the layers of clothing and the attachments to his wrists and ankles ought to stop him. Anyway.
Instead of digging down at the head of the grave, as was the custom, Rufus adopted the plan of digging in the center.
Oh, what the fuck? Dick first.
The covering of the box was then sawed through and the small lid on the coffin shoved back. No lights were used by the ghouls except on occasional match, which is lighted down in the grave. So they were, I don't know.
What is the advantage to going, are you going?
I think it might be, I think it's because I think people were being
fastened,
and so this
so you
is
could yank from the middle a little easier.
Yeah, get them out, or you can
it's
unfasten
like that claw
the fasteners.
Game at like arcades, kind of.
Yes.
Grab by the center. Look, I'm just trying to figure it out, everybody. This is kind of grab the center a little bit easier.
Get grab the dick, grab
center,
the dick.
And then kind of yank from the middle.
Yep.
Awesome.
There are quite a few grave robbers who were in competition. Another ghoul in Indiana was Wade Hampton West. West had his face disfigured during the Civil War while fighting as a Confederate. He moved with his wife and nine children to Hamilton County in 1880.
Interesting.
Hamilton County is just north of Indianapolis. Like Rufus,
sounds
West...
Sounds like it's south.
Like Rufus, West also got into a bar fight, but he killed the other guy and got off by claiming self-defense.
Sure.
West became a farmer in Indiana and then opened a tavern. He's doing very well.
Looks like it.
But that didn't stop him from jumping into the grave robbing business.
So he was just like, I need a side hustle.
Yeah, you know what? Not enough scratch.
Yeah.
What about getting into the body market? He worked with a guy named Lucius Stout, who was also a farmer who was doing well but wanted extra cash. But they were suspected of being grave robbers because they kept going to funerals as mourners.
What?
Like
you'd be like, did you know him?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. He had a good friend of mine. I knew him real well. I've been devastated by whatever his name is, death. I was really upset when I heard he passed away.
I'm sorry. Also, I just
how much did he weigh at the time of passing? How many layers of clothes?
I just wanted to say that he said to
me... Are we going to fasten him?
He said to me before he died, they go, only bury me 2 feet down.
Yeah. I think we're all hoping for a shallow grave for him, honestly. That'd be the best move, I would say. Get him out of there as soon as possible. The spirit, obviously.
Yeah, anyway, could you put these ropes around his legs and arms?
You know what? We'll put him in the sack and get him there for you. Don't even worry about it. We'll Santa Claus him out there for you. Don't even sweat it at all. You can trust us.
If you can't trust a man with a giant, weird black patch under his eye, who can you trust?
Don't worry. I'm actually wearing some clothes I just took out of a grave, to be honest with you.
Oh, it's okay. My eye just leaks black.
So they're going to every funeral that happens, basically.
So people are like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, we're just devastated by whatever his name is passing.
Yeah,
so he's unbelievable. What a loss. Excuse me, I'm going to go next door, but what a loss. Oh, I can't believe it. This is so sad that he also passed. It was such a surprise. He was so young. He was 90. Yeah, but still, young at heart. All right, put a pin in that. Dig a shallow grave. That was one thing he said to us. I got to be next door. Oh, man, what a loss.
This is the catering room.
Oh, sorry. What a dip. This is unbelievable. Time is money.
So everyone starts to notice, because they're going to all these funerals, the Indiana...
I'm so torn up.
The Indiana Democrat, quote, even when they were unacquainted with either the dead or the surviving relatives, they were present at the graveside when the corpse was lowered to its last resting place.
Why weren't you at the ceremony?
We, this is the part where we grieve the most. So, y'all should get the fuck out of here. Leave now. Yeah. Don't worry, we got this.
Suspicion on this account has rested on the men for some time, but their wealth and position shielded them from open accusation.
So people just had to be like, oh, shit, they're going to take Dad.
Yeah.
Basically, you're like, oh, yeah. God damn. He's like, I mean, he's like the post-reaper.
Yeah.
All right, get going. Damn it.
Yeah, and they're doing well, so...
Right,
no,
because they're
like,
rich, people are like...
Elon Musk wouldn't do anything bad.
Right, what can we do? Right, yeah, right.
Ghouls were sometimes
ghouls
killed by the relatives of the dead. The Marion County Herald reported that on December 18th, 1894 in Louisville, the fiance of the recently deceased Miss Morris was watching her grave and shot at two men who came and started digging, killing one Smiley Jordan.
Well, so if your buddy gets killed when you're grave robbing, my guess is you're like, what, a win's a win, and you just start dragging him. Way less labor. You're like, thank you, lady. Do-do-do-do-do. Cha-ching.
Yeah. Well, the other guy escaped. He got away. He didn't actually take the body.
No, but for comedy, he did.
I know. Sometimes ghouls fought each other. In September 1901, West and Stout approached a grave in Beaver Cemetery and surprised Rufus and his gang, who were already digging up the corpse West and Stout had come for.
So they're like oilmen?
Yeah. So they start arguing, and then guns are pulled, and then a running gunfight breaks out.
What? I mean, the whole thing is to be, like, secretive.
Yeah, that's not as secretive as you'd want.
Okay.
They hid behind gravestones and shot at each other.
Mm-hmm.
A member of Rufus's gang, William Gray, was shot and, quote, dropped into the open grave with a bullet through his neck. The two men who were with Gray ran out of ammo and ran off, abandoning him. Now, Wes was shot in the forehead and grazed, and he would forever have a scar, which, like, who would notice?
Yeah.
He and Stout now took Gray to West Farm, where Gray died. His body was then sold to one of the medical colleges in Indianapolis, although another rumor was they dumped the body in a swamp. But I bet they sold it.
So, but I would worry that they're like, this is a pretty good business model.
Yeah.
Just like shoot and then, yeah. You don't even need to worry, but we don't need shovels anymore.
In 1902, at least three people in Indianapolis got anonymous tips that graves of recently buried relatives were empty. Sure enough, they looked, and the relatives had the day the graves dug up, and the bodies were gone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so
I mean, like you would be like, it's probably not going to be good, to be honest with you. Looks like a smash and grab.
The police were brought in, and a search was done, and the bodies were found in the basement of the Central College of Physicians and Surgeons.
Fuck.
Newspapers printed the story. People went into a panic in Indianapolis. Families were now guarding graves of loved ones.
What a crazy, like, what an awful situation to, after all that, be like, all right, well, I'll do 6 to midnight. And then do you want to come at midnight, and you can do midnight to 6, and then we'll, yep, this is how it's going.
I'm also just like, I'm someone who's just like, well, you're fucking dead. Like, who cares?
I agree, yeah, but it's also like, you know.
I know.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't mind. Have at it. Jerky me like that guy earlier. Let's party.
But shouldn't we be able to do whatever we want with dead people? Like, Weekend at Bernie's is wonderfully fun. And
That would be how I would want to go out.
Yeah.
Without question. Yeah, what a great thing to put in the will. And also, please, Weekend at Bernie's me for 2 weeks in Maui? What? Keep in mind, in the original Weekend at Bernie's, there is a necrophilia scene. Yeah, the woman bangs Bernie, and she's like, that was awesome. And
is
they're
that
like,
true?
Yeah. Yeah. She's what? Like, that was great.
God, the fucking 80s.
Yeah,
was
you
so...
just were like, there were no rules.
I mean, I
cocaine
just...
was okay for you. Cigarettes weren't bad. Everything was a real moment in time.
Revenge of the Nerds ends with a rape.
Not good, yes.
And in the movie, they like break into a woman's sorority and put in cameras so they can watch them naked. You're just like, so this is just these are sex criminals.
Yeah. But Dave, it was a different time. We didn't know, man.
But even I remember at that, even at that time, that movie came out. And I was like, boy, that was a fucked up ending, huh? It's a, like,
what? Yeah. I remember watching Weekend at Bernie's, being like, wait, she fucked him? I was like eight. I was like, that's not okay. She was like, that was fantastic. They're all like, what happened?
But now that you're older, you know it was okay.
Well, no, it's okay. Yeah.
Don't
for sure.
Don't shame necrophilia.
No, I would never. No, absolutely not. To each their own.
Yeah, don't kink shame. We don't kink shame.
That's what the, yeah, it's the smush and grab. Not great.
So people start demanding that the body snatching be investigated, and cops start now staking out graveyards and the medical colleges, hoping they'll find the ghouls doing the business.
The medical colleges what? Are hoping...
No, the medical... The cops are staking out. They're
right,
watching
the medical
everything.
Colleges like this system.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
A pawnbroker...
So when, like, people show up and they find a bunch of bodies in the basement, they're like, really? Gosh, I don't know where we thought they came from to be. I mean, what is their excuse?
I don't know.
They have nothing. There's just a bunch of bodies. They're like, where did you think they came from? They're like, the canal?
I'm sure they said, like, no, that was a
they
person...
They were donated to science.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. A pawnbroker in the city named Emil Mantel had a customer who he loaned 4 shotguns to for $28.
Nice.
Mantel, however, thought this was suspicious. So he reached out to his lawyer to get advice of what to do. Mantel said the customer's name was Rufus Cantrell. Hmm. And the lawyer, Taylor Groniger, started to put things together. There were already rumors of what Rufus was up to. And now
I like
how
this is a big investigation. He's like, think. He's a grave robber. It'll come to me.
And now he's taking more shotguns than anyone needs.
Mm-hmm.
So the lawyer thought these shotguns would be pretty good for scaring off the relatives who were now hanging out at night at graveyards.
God, that's a fucking awkward situation.
Yeah. So he's heard rumors about, you know, his Rufus's night job, mm-hmm. and he's getting guns.
That's
so,
a nice way of putting it.
Yeah.
My night gig?
So Groniger tells 2 detectives in the Indianapolis Police Department, and the next day... Rufus and 6 of his gang are arrested by these guys. And it didn't take long to get full, very detailed confessions from every single one. Hmm. Rufus seemed very proud to explain all of his body-stealing good times.
Okay, interesting angle. I like that, leaning in.
His confession was, quote, in excruciating detail.
Ugh, that's...
They had done the deed at Crown Hill Cemetery. Whoops. The German Catholic Graveyard, Mount Jackson Cemetery, Traders Point Cemetery, the Old Anderson Graveyard, as well as the cemetery at this place, the Central Indiana Hospital for the Insane. Rufus led cops to the graveyards and pointed out the graves they'd taken bodies from. Grave after grave.
Does he know it's illegal?
I don't know.
He's just like, look, I want my name hung from the rafters, okay?
Now, remember, he... loved attention.
Yeah.
So they
this
think
is a way, right.
he just loved being the center of attention.
Right. Wow.
So the graves are all empty, and at the hospital for the insane, at this place, they had emptied over 100 graves. It was happening so much, Chicago police even called and asked him about robbing graves there.
Oh, like, yeah. A bunch of them, too. Yep. How are you? Can you put me in touch with Kansas City? I got a bunch for them, too.
So like we said, Rufus loved the attention he's getting, and he loves putting on a show. He loves explaining everything. He told a paper he was writing a book and had already finished 250 pages. So some of the things he said are probably not true, but he did give prosecutors the inside scoop on how the ghouls were doing their business. He said sometimes the body snatchers were forced to dump a wagon load of bodies. They would usually...
A metric wagon load?
They would usually do it in Indianapolis alleyways. He claimed each member of his gang made $420 between July and September, which was the average wage someone made in a year.
Why were they dumping bodies?
Like if they were going to get caught or
there was
some
chase,
sort of problem.
They'd be like, get them out of here.
Or the college, they couldn't get in. Like, whatever. They just had...
It's dark.
Rufus also snitched on Dr. Joseph Alexander as his main buyer. Most doctors would just buy the bodies, but Rufus said Alexander identified which bodies he wanted and sometimes went with Rufus to scout and find potential corpses.
Went scouting? That's a good one.
Oh, yes. Look at that. Boy, that
I've been looking to land a body like that for a while, too.
Oh, that one is plump.
Wow.
And he would go out with the gang to the graveyard. So he's full.
He's a ghoul.
Yeah, he's a ghoul. So it didn't take long for the doctor to be arrested.
Okay.
As Rufus spilled the beans, authorities were opening up more and more empty graves. They now start searching medical schools, but they can't find any bodies. Then the detective got a tip that Dr. Alexander had paid for 20 pine boxes to be delivered to his college. Hmm. So they set up a big sting. They're very excited.
A sting?
They're like, they know, well, you know, I'm watching it. So yeah. They know this has to be connected to the missing bodies.
Right.
And so they do a raid, and the college is just moving, and the boxes were packing instruments.
Aha! Oh, saxophones, damn it. Oh. That sounds like they just did a switcheroo.
It does, totally.
Yeah, like at the end, they were like, quick, put something in there, percussion instruments, hurry. And they're like, oh, damn it, God, real bloody keyboard in here.
Then on October 14th, 1902, the Indianapolis Journal reported a man named Amos Smith had been walking to work at 6 a.m. when, quote, he found two bodies tied in sacks in a dry goods box at the side of Hibben Hollowig Company's store.
Okay. So he was like, whoop, that's interesting.
Well, that's a bag of bodies.
Mm-hmm. That, you tied know, together.
That happens.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're just being delivered in the morning. The same young man, and walking further south, noticed two more bodies at the rear door of the Central Medical College.
Did he do anything when he saw the first two, or he was like, yeah, whatever?
I don't
think
so.
Then he kept going, he's like, that's weird.
Well, there's another bag of bodies.
Hmm.
What a strange morning.
Is it Christmas? It is Christmas morning.
No, Mommy, I get to keep them. The bodies were ID'd by... the family members.
Must have been very comfortable for them, too. Good news, we found them. They're tied together in sacks on the ground. It's not good news, so please.
Just opening up the sack. Is this your daughter? can you roll her over?
Yeah, I'm walking away, too. No cosign.
So some people thought the bodies had been placed there to put suspicion on Central Medical College, like as
right.
like a body...
It's a little obvious, I guess, right?
Like, oh, yeah, you just put the bodies in front. Like,
right.
A grand jury investigated handed down 25 indictments. Accusations were made against 75 people, who were in three body-snatching gangs just in Indianapolis alone. Rufus, Dr. Alexander, and four doctors from other schools were named, as were cemetery workers, staff at medical schools, all the gangs, etc. So Rufus immediately turned snitch for the trial of Dr. Alexander. Dr. Alexander's defense goes hard. No, you'll get to that. After Rufus. They tried to connect Rufus to the killing of a Chinese immigrant.
Okay.
But it was obviously he had not done it.
Okay.
They called his accusations too outlandish to be true and brought up his epilepsy.
But there's already tons of evidence against him.
Yeah, but he's saying a lot of stuff. Like,
right. But what are they mincing, like... Isn't there just enough to just, like... I mean, what are you going for? You're just going to, like, prove that he's guilty of doing this. There's,
yeah.
Like,
oh, totally.
A lot... I mean, he was taking people on tours.
Yeah, I mean, there's that.
Yeah, so they're like, he didn't do that one. And they're like, okay, what about the 500 others? Like, well, fuck. It's not going great, honestly. We got,
Like the wagon thing.
Right.
That's probably not true, because they would have been like, there's another wagon load of bodies that have been dumped.
Right.
You know, it's probably, so they were probably like, what, tell us about the wagon. And then they're like, well, if the wagon isn't true, then what about all this other
shit? Oh, so then they're starting, okay, that's interesting.
So they're just trying to paint him as a liar.
Right, okay.
And then epilepsy, at that time, is just this big diagnosis for a ton of mental illnesses.
Oh, so everyone's epileptic.
Yeah, basically, right. And all these problems. So a few doctors testify about his mental health, and each says he's insane.
Okay.
And Rufus is adamant that he's not insane.
But that's something an insane man would say.
Fuck!
Yeah, right.
All I do is dig up dead people.
He's lying. No, I'm not. I do it. He's insane.
I like dead people?
He does not. This man's Abraham Lincoln.
67 bodies ago.
Lincoln!
When prosecutors cross-examined the doctors, each one, it turns out, had connections to the Central College where Dr. Alexander worked.
So he's the guy.
So every doctor that goes up and says he's insane is connected to the college.
Right, he's the Escobar.
Yes.
Right.
Besides Rufus, the other important witnesses against Dr. Alexander, the other big one was another doctor, but he came to court shit-faced.
Great.
So the judge ruled all his testimony invalid.
But they can't, like, bring him back? Like, we tried. Unfortunately, we caught him on the wrong day. He was drunk. Whiskey.
Yeah.
Gin.
Boop.
Ale.
Boop.
Bucket.
It's just, yeah, that's my first
snuff.
Thought. It's like, why wouldn't they just come back the next day?
Yeah, be like,
well, we tried.
He's drunk again. Damn it. This guy's very good at this.
So the jury cannot reach a decision. And
what?
It ends up
they're so,
jury.
But because they're like, maybe he didn't do it?
They're also all white.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I mean, because the one guy's drunk, they can't take his testimony. And then Rufus, they're like, you know, he lies and he doesn't, so they're like, you can't trust him.
Okay.
I mean, his word is the only proof they have that Dr. Alexander was involved.
It just seems like there would be a lot more evidence, but okay.
There's not.
Okay.
Indianapolis Journal, February 16th, 1903, quote, Dr. C. Alexander's status in the community is unchanged.
Oh, my God. People are like, thank God you're back. What a great guy.
He is neither the convicted felon of the heinous crime of complicity with ghouls, and neither is he wholly absolved from the accusations made against him by the state's attorney.
So that's it. Now he's like, welcome back. And everyone's like, oh, finally. Sure, he's hanging out at a lot of funerals again, isn't he?
Licking his lips.
Man. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Dr. Alexander. Yes. Oh, sorry about that. Mwah.
Look at your daughter.
I'm going to take the bodies again.
You're saying that out loud.
No, I just was six-inch roast beef for me, please.
You're at a funeral.
Oh, right. Well, more like fun. Oh, yes, the comeback will be great. More like grave.
Can you stop talking out loud?
I didn't say anything. I've been sitting here weeping. You're very devastated by everything that's gone on, obviously.
You're loudly saying terrible things.
We all grieve differently. And the way I grieve is by taking the bodies and dissecting them in the basement of the college.
Okay, hey, that laugh, you're upsetting the widow. That laugh is really bad.
Well, hopefully the widow's okay and doesn't pass away from her grief. Because if she were to, well...
party of two. Yeah. No. Ah, I don't fucking care anymore. Woo! Woo! Double Jeopardy! Yeah! Woo! I'm back, baby! Yeah! Woo! Lovely ceremony, wasn't it? Really just lovely to see so many people come together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Thanks for coming. Bye. Mm,
yeah.
Bye.
Bye. B-U-I, as in I'll pay.
What?
Hmm? I don't know what my deal is anymore, to be honest with you. Bit brash, aren't I?
Yeah.
Smoke bomb?
No, what? Oh, fuck!
Aha!
Oh. Where's Grandpappy?
Oh, it's hard to see the fencing with all this smoke.
Oh, my God, is that the penguin? So, when Alexander's let go, a crowd of angry farmers rioted at Fisher Station. Half of the coffins near Fisher's were reported to have been empty. Rufus had testified that bodies they took from that cemetery, they had floated down the White River on boats.
What?
So the crowd...
Just Viking funeraling down the canal? There we go. Boy, a lot of people come out for the night swims, don't they?
These people can hold their breath forever. Look at all these white swimmers. They're aquatic.
So the rioting crowd builds a scaffold.
Wow, that's the kind of riots I want to see. Scaffold riots. Oh, shit, they're making construction.
Yell death to the grave robbers and bird effigies of Dr. Alexander, the judge, and Hampton West.
Wow. Okay.
They said if West returned to Fisher's, they would hang him. As the fire started, a railroad agent said it was getting too close and could burn down the station, so they took the effigies down and burned them in a pile in the road. Mm.
And they've been burning ever since. That's the smell.
That is the smell. So Rufus also narked on West and Stout, and he really laid it on. He said Stout had chloroformed a young woman, murdered a cop, and accused him of several other unsolved murders.
Jesus Christ.
It was a bit much.
Yeah, a bit. It is a bit much?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, prosecutors didn't buy it.
Like, buddy, we're trying to, like, figure it out. He chloroforms people. That's what he does. He's Jack the Ripper.
He started the opium war with China.
He killed himself and then dissected himself. And then, wait, no, I lost that one. That one was too much, I guess.
So, in the end...
He dissected me.
No, you
Yeah,
can't.
He killed me and then dissected me.
You're here.
Yeah. He's that good. He put me back together. So...
What's the charm?
Problem?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Doesn't.
You said?
No.
What? It's a thriller.
Stout got off on a procedural technicality. During his trial, the press nicknamed Rufus the King of the Ghouls.
Nice.
His defense team entered a plea of insanity, but Rufus didn't want that as a defense. The state used Rufus' interviews with cops and his grand jury testimony against him.
So his own defense team?
Entered insanity.
And he's like, that's not what I want.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to fight you on that.
Well, tough shit.
Too bad. He's like, but
well,
please?
I would agree with you, but you're crazy. Yeah. So. So Rufus's mother took the stand and said he had epilepsy. He'd gotten head injury when he was 10. He started talking to God.
And everyone was like, normal, that's fine.
Yeah, that's all fine.
We all talk to God, yeah, hangs out around a lot of these places.
She said he still had delusions. Quote, he once assaulted a minister with his tongue when he refused to ordain him.
I did that. Rufus, let him go. He's already dead, Rufus. She said that, and they were like, all right, this witness isn't great either, to be honest with you. You know what a tongue assault is, don't you? That's what he did. Show him, Rufus. He's got a Gene Simmons one. Show him. There you go. It's like beating a man with a rug. What? Could they get a hold of that man?
She said...
Tongue beatings.
She said her son was violent, had a temper, and liked to call himself the king of the Bryant campaign. She said he had cards printed with the words, Rufus Cantrell, the Democratic hero.
Wow. So I did that with Vistaprint. It was the early 2000s.
So she really laid it on. Traumatic brain injury can cause mood swings, agitation, combativeness, and cognitive symptoms.
Abraham Lincoln. A lot of that stuff.
So these are the kind of things epilepsy was used to describe at the time.
Right.
But his mom could have just wanted to keep him out of jail and just been saying this.
Like she could have come up with some better stuff than he tongue beat a guy. He tongue beat a priest, which some of them actually are into.
Yeah.
The Catholics, really, are the ones I'm thinking of.
During his trial, cops realized Mount Jackson Cemetery.
I was like, what the fuck is going on now? He wants to be buried in the mouth. Pardon? Like Weekend at Bernie's.
They realized Mount Jackson Cemetery, right next to Central State Hospital, was basically empty and, quote, no longer really deserved to be called a cemetery.
God damn.
Also, someone sent a letter accusing Rufus of stealing the body of ex-President Benjamin Harrison, who had died in 1901 and was buried in Crown Hill, which...
What? I mean, if... Okay. That would seem like... I mean, that's like trophy robbing.
Yeah.
Right? You're just like, my man...
But that wasn't true. But the Crown Hill was a cemetery that was a massive gated cemetery that had been built to protect against body snatchers. It had 24 armed security.
I like how that there was no other place where like we don't do that. Have at it. It's like a night buffet.
They had 24-hour security who were allowed to shoot trespassers on the spot. But still, Rufus had operated there, though he did not steal Harrison's body. So anyway, he is found guilty. Hmm. And everyone in Rufus's gang got between 1 and 10 years. I've seen different reports of what he got. Like, there's different... There's some say 2 to 3 years. Others say 10. In the end, all the white doctors walked.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And all the black guys got jailed.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Newspapers took every opportunity to point out the race of the accused.
Sure.
And then Dr. Alexander, who had a hung jury.
Who was like the guy.
And he was a hung jury, but they did not try him again.
Right, because that one guy showed up drunk one day.
Well, the reason was part because Rufus had hoped his cooperation would lead to a lighter sentence.
Right.
And when that didn't happen, he refused to testify in a retrial of Alexander.
Because he was pissed.
Yeah.
Right.
And they couldn't try him again without the star witness, and then they also had to let the other four doctors go.
Right.
So Rufus got out in 1909, and there's still rumors. He was writing a book about his days as a ghoul.
Uh-huh.
Instead, he started working at the American Steel and Wire Company in Anderson, Indiana. The press reported he's itching to hit the stage again.
Oh, God. But he really wants to do the acting thing.
In 1913, he got back into politics and started stumping for African Americans to support Democratic mayoral candidate Joseph Bell.
Hmm.
He won the election. Soon after, Rufus was charged with running an illegal liquor den.
A liquor den? That's a great bar name.
He fled to Michigan to become an evangelist.
Okay.
That's where you go.
All right. Time for more tongue lashings. Stop, you guys. Yeah, it's more Pentecostal. Yeah, it bit me.
The Indianapolis News wrote that he, quote, conducted a revival under an assumed name in Flint. But he was accused of, quote, frisking the pockets of a gospel group member in Detroit.
Hmm.
So, I guess stealing, but it also
yeah,
sounds
but
like...
Yeah, but I don't know why they put it like that. Yeah. Pickpocketing, but they're like, he's risking valuables.
He got 2 years...
Oh, shit.
...in a Marquette penitentiary. After getting out, he married Major Mae McConnell, who was an officer in a religious mission called the Charity Army of America.
The Charity Army?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Turns out it was not a charity at all, but a big fraud.
Hmm. Okay.
Michigan police shut down the operation, and Rufus was arrested for larceny.
Jesus Christ. Lincoln's got a real checkered past.
While in custody, he snitched on an accomplice he had been arrested with, Edward Gowdy. Gowdy had been in Rufus's body snatcher gang back in Indianapolis, and now they had fallen out. So he snitches. He said in 1900, a rich woman, Carrie Selvage. So Carrie had a nervous breakdown and was put in Indianapolis Union State Hospital. But one night she escaped, and Rufus said she came to the cemetery gate where she scared Rufus and his gang.
What? Run!
Woman! Quote, she stood there in her nightgown and felt slippers, her disheveled hair streaming out in a cold March wind, looking like a banshee.
Interesting.
So a banshee, that's scary.
That's your words, not mine.
Have you ever seen a banshee?
No.
Well?
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 I'm not going to say it.
Look, you're already freaked out because you're at a graveyard.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you're also like, we're pretty used to this.
Yeah, you're used to it.
But then it's like an apparition, like, yeah.
Oh, fuck!
Quick, take your clothes off. We got this one. You know what to do. I wish more of them were floating above the graves. Way easier.
So Rufus said they abducted her and held her in a basement, and then Gowdy killed her.
Jesus Christ.
And sold her body to the Indiana Medical College.
I mean, it's really like there's just these little pockets of comedy that are like, and then I get it in, and then you're like, exactly. So she was murdered, and... I mean, I hate to say it, Dave.
My God, they killed a banshee. What's your problem?
I mean,
you can't kill a fucking banshee?
Oh, I just miss when the Riddler guys were over jerky ET.
Well, we all miss that.
We didn't know how good we had it back then. But it looked like Batman villains were having man Thanksgiving. It looked like a wizard turned a bunch of couches into Abraham Lincoln morticians over a chocolate man.
Or the candy man.
If I get that picture on a t-shirt, that's not okay, right?
It's very okay.
Is it okay?
We should probably put those out.
Okay.
We can do that. We'll sell those.
Oh, we're no better than the grave robbers. Teespring's like, you're flagging it. Why are you flagging the concept for these t-shirts? It's on Deadbubble.
Oh, this was Finn's face when you guys all cheered.
Back to the grave robbing.
Back to the grave robbing.
So they murdered her in a basement, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but they didn't do anything.
What do you mean?
So Indianapolis says, well, they have no evidence that she was murdered.
Just that they're saying it. He's saying it.
Because she just... walked out and vanished.
Sure.
She had walked out and vanished. Then she came back, and there was like a nurse or woman who worked in the kitchen and saw her and was like, where were you? And she's
macaroni?
Like,
where were you? You want a sandwich? What were you doing? You shouldn't have left. Would you like some cereal or muffins?
Well, she says, do you want a coffee to warm up? And then she goes to make it and comes back and she's gone again. So that was the last thing anybody ever saw her. So they thought that she had walked out and fallen into a canal.
What the fuck were they thinking? Like, canals were just portals that were just opening up in cities, and that was... I murdered her in a basement. No, no, no. She, like 90% of the people of this city, fell into a canal and died. We're not going to believe any more of this murder bullshit, Rufus. We all know she fell into a canal, the shallowest of rivers, never to be seen again. You know how canals work. Did we look for her? Of course we didn't look for her. It's almost 4 feet wide and 2 deep. How would we find... We don't have scuba invented yet, my friend. We can't be Jacques Cousteau-ing every canal. Everyone knows canals are 10% water, 90% human. Christ, you sound epileptic. Lord.
They dragged the canal, and when they didn't find her body, then they emptied the canal, and they still didn't find her body.
Wow.
And so they were like, well, she must have drowned in there.
Wait, I'm sorry?
They didn't find her, so they're like, well, I...
They didn't find her, so
that's
they were
it.
Like, yep, confirmed.
Case closed.
Sorry, no, you drained the canal.
Case closed.
We didn't find her in the canal, so it's pretty obvious she passed away from drowning in the canal. Sorry, you didn't find her, that's right, but we know that she was in there. But that was a while ago, so she probably became canal water. Like 90% of the citizens of this town do. That's why all the graves are empty. Everyone's coming out of them at night like night crawlers, looking for the canal. Going for their night swims. I don't know why everyone's looking at me like I'm epileptic.
So nothing came of it. Rufus and Gowdy walked on the charges. No one knows what happened to Rufus after 1916.
Wow.
In April 1920, a skeleton was found in the attic of the old Union Hospital building.
Oh, boy.
At the time, it was being converted into a garage.
The attic?
The building.
Thank God. We haven't figured out how these things work just yet, but we the car's up top. Seems to be right, huh? There we go. So just drive through the house. Get to the garage up the top. It's like that Taft parking structure.
The skeleton... That was found was described to be in...
Bony?
In a double attic, so it was...
In a double attic?
It was an attic above an attic.
Well, our attics have attics.
Hey, boss, I'm just going over the plans here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to confirm that you want an attic above the attic.
Yeah, well, an attic's attic, absolutely.
That seems overkill.
Well, if you find a skeleton, it will be. I'm addicted to double addicts. I'm an addict's addict addict.
Flowers, flowers, flowers in the addict addict.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought Carrie's brothers.
Oh, shit.
To look at the body,
we
skeleton.
Think the canal water, probably during a storm, twirled into a canal-nado and carried your sister up to the attic's attic, which will be a garage soon. It is 1920.
Because she had on slippers. And this
well, you see, the skeleton, its feet got cold. And, but look, it's no skin. You would too. There's no blankets.
And the slippers have been given to her by her brother.
Okay.
This is 20 years later.
Come on.
But he recognized me. He goes, those are the slippers I gave her.
I remember the slippers I gave her 20 years ago, too.
Right. And right there, initialed, it says, fuck you. You're fucking nuts.
Wouldn't the slippers, like, start to, if they...
No, slippers last forever.
Wouldn't there be other, like, there was nothing else? And there was just, like, someone just was like, put the slippers on. Get the fuck out of here. It'll just be confusing. I don't know. We murdered someone. Let's get out of here. So the only thing that survived were the bones and the slippers. You know how decomposition works, right? Clothes fade, but slippers stay.
He identified her.
He identified the slippers.
Yes.
That's her head and her slippers.
It was exactly what Rufus had said she'd been wearing the night she disappeared.
Just slippers. And her bones.
So investigator decided that she crawled into the attic, sat down, and froze to death.
Who the fuck is the laziest investigator? Oh, yeah.
Well,
we think it was probably the canal, but upon further evaluation, she crawled into the attic's attic, got cold, and died. Her last act being putting on these slippers that will never fade. Hmm. Where's my money? I want my money.
Dr. Alexander died in 1925 and is buried at Crown Hill Cemetery.
Can we go get the body? We got to just go fucking get it.
He has no headstone.
It has no headstone?
He has no headstone.
Then let's take all of them.
In 1903, the Indiana General Assembly passed the Anatomical Education Act, establishing the state... Anatomical Board. It oversaw the distribution of bodies to medical schools. The State Anatomical Board still exists today, overseeing the donated bodies, which are the sole source of cadavers used in teaching.
How are you spelling soul?
Anatomy. Yeah.
God damn it.
How about that shit?
No. So, how many bodies now are like, I mean, are we still mainly cadaver-based studiers?
I mean, they're not stolen anymore. I mean, they could be, but no, they still are. I mean, people still do, you know, sell. Yeah, they still like, oh, yeah, no, we cremated them. It still happens, and then they sell them. But, yeah, they try to keep track of it, and you donate body. You donate your body to science, and then it goes.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're like, I donated my body to science, and they're like, oh, you know, we used it in our...
These two guys were taking you around the beach all weekend, and your ex fucked you. So, our bad. You're like, no, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like a fucking death Rumspringer. Spring break!
Sources Hung by a Corpse, Occupational Hazards for the Resurrectionist by Chris.
Can you read
Woodyard.
A book called Hung by a Corpse, like on a bus or something like that? Or are people like, sir, get the fuck off of here now. Pardon?
Gunfights, Gang Battles, and Other Hazards of the Well-Paying Job of Grave Robbing by Will Higgins, Lindsay Beckley, King of Ghouls, Rufus Cantrell, and Grave Robbing in Indianapolis, Rufus Cantrell, Intruder in the Dust, by Indianapolis.com and Indianapolis Journal and Indianapolis News. And then just dead people.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like the maybe the main takeaway is that the idea that that was a time when anyone was judging the mental well-being of anyone else is totally wild.
Yeah.
Because nobody knew, not that we know too much now, or at least, like, at this point, we've tried to forget it, but, like, then it was like nobody knew anything.
Anything.
Like, epilepsy causing...
Yeah.
Yeah, all of that is just totally... I mean, I don't want to say bonkers, but it is, like...
It's just bullshit.
Yeah, it is. And so they had no real idea of what was going on in any way, And then they find, like, a fucking Cinderella body in an addict's attic, and they're like, that's obvious. And then everything else is a canal-based death.
Yeah.
And then the white doctor, who is, like, the godfather of all of it,
yeah,
gets off because another doctor just shows up drunk, and they're like, fuck, oh, goddamn, what a bummer.
What are you going to do?
What are we going to do? And then, meanwhile, you have couch-printed Lincoln Undertakers smiling over a fucking turkey man.
Jerky man.
Turkey jerky man. Who they fucking faced him towards the camera. Say cheese, Al. I do think the only way to end Dave would
to
be...
To end Dave?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
You know how I want you to go out. Just one more hit. One more rip.
Sure.
Of...
Yeah.
The one. Oh, God, it seems, yeah. Not that one. I'm so nervous. It's like watching a movie. Ah! And they all have fondue sticks. It's just not okay. I could do a TED Talk. If you want to go, you can go. I'm going to do another 2 hours of just this. I just can't. I cannot. I just can't. It happened. It happened, and everyone was like, should we do one more, or we think we got it? You feel good about it? Should we put his head towards the camera? What do you think, Ed? Go on, do a couple with it. Should he get his arm on the table? Nah, fuck it. Let it look like he's reaching for his glasses. It'll be fun. What are you looking at? Oh, I should have said that, like, what are you looking
so,
at?
It's just great.
It's just... I just... I guess I never realized we were just blinking shoelaces. When you really break it down, just... Who gives a fuck? Take it, like you were saying. It's really, at the end of the day, what are you holding on to? You want to be remembered like this? I can't keep doing it. I don't like the way the one guy's cutting with like the traditional English knife and fork thing. Like, yes, right, yes.
Yeah, but how would you like a slice? Would you like, a breast or a thigh?
You'd see this at a fair in Wisconsin and not blink twice, by the way. You'd be like, yeah, that was a side of corn and mashed potatoes. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. Enjoy your nightmares of that. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yes, it's Gareth. Not Gary, stop it. Gare Force, listen, I've got a bunch of stand-up shows coming up, and I want to see you there. We can hug. I will be at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California, April 18th, 19th, and 20th. Then I will be in Chattanooga, Tennessee, June 18th. I will be at Nashville, Zanies, June 19th. I will be in Huntsville, Alabama, June 20th. I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, June 21st, June 22nd. Then I will be in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, June 26th. Then I'll be in East Providence, Rhode Island, June 27th. Then I'll be in Boston, Massachusetts, and Boston, June 28th. That's two shows. I will be in Springfield, Massachusetts, June 29th, Rochester, New York, June 30th, and then July 5th through the 6th, Canada, I've heard your prayers,
and I will answer them. I will be in Toronto. So come join me at the Comedy Bar. Go to GarethReynolds.com for tickets and information. That's right, Gareth Force. We're calling you up. It's the big time. It's the big leagues. This went poorly.